Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, my brothers and sisters, to the Church of Reality, a place where everything is real and truth is guaranteed, a place where judgment is not passed, and a place where we don't put up with this.
You are going to see the truth when the rapture of the body of Jesus Christ is removed.
How you doing, Brother Solomon?
It's been a gracious Sunday. You know, I can't complain. The rays of the sun been shining down upon me all day long. I feel holier than thou. You know, how about yourself?
Now, because I feel super holy on this beautiful Sunday night. I can look up to the sky and see the moon. It's a beautiful, clear night here in Bethlehem, where I'm at, lodged up for the night.
How are the Jews behaving tonight, brothers Herod?
I haven't seen the Jews all day, man. I've taken it easy, kicked back, put my boots up, and let the roll bear out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. Well, for those of you tuning in tonight, please make sure, you know what I'm saying, call in is 714-409-0548. Tonight's topic, this is show number 6, Church Reality, is gangs and religion. We're going to basically show you guys through various clips and different things we've collected and researched how gangs and religion seem to be tied together on many levels. Not all gangs, you know, claim religious attributes, but many of them do, down from the symbols and to the fucking rituals. I mean, it's all, you know, it's intertwined in many ways, isn't it, Brother Herod?
It's not just the gangs. You know, when you think of a gang, the average person is going to think of the Crips and the Bloods or the Gangster Disciples or the Latin Kings or you know, gangs like that, the Vice Lords. But, I mean, this is deeper than that. It's a lot of gangs. It's like the Hell's Angels and the Ku Klux Klan and political parties that are kind of like gangs, like the Nazis. And I mean, it's just deep. It's deep. It's very, very deep. And it probably goes even farther back before they were considered gangs.
Yeah. And they take on, you know, just like ranks in the military, you know, and just like different ranks in the church. You know, you have the bishop, you have, you know, the pope, the cardinal, and so on. And in the gangs, you know, you got, you know, chief, you got the Inca, the soldiers, you know, and it's all kind of you know, eerily similar. And we're gonna discuss a lot about that tonight for sure.
It's almost like these gangs, man, they're almost basing their whole structure off of a church or off of a religious group, the way they recruit the young members and you know, they glorify, like the church, they'll glorify the love of Jesus and the peace and all that, where the gang will glorify, you know, the money and the cars and the hoes and all that. And they almost brainwash you into thinking, you know, I gotta be part of this structured gang or structured church to have these things in my life.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's crazy the way they're very closely related.
Well, and just like a church, like you said, will prey upon a child, many gangs do that. They recruit children that have no father figure, And a lot of young kids will seek out that father figure. What else do they have in certain environments? You know, so naturally they're going to gravitate towards these gangs. And
it's funny you put it like that. And you know, I'm not gonna throw out no numbers because I don't know the specific percent, but I'm sure a good amount of gang members are kids from single parent homes, mostly single mother homes where the mother can't control the child. And it's funny how you said they go to the gang looking for a father figure when in the church, you know, they prey upon to the father where everybody's looking for a father for better guidance.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that, Solomon. You on top of your game tonight, brother.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'll give you a perfect example right now. I'm actually going to play this cat right now is you know, a member of the Black Peace Stones out of Chicago, which is legendary gang headed by Jeffrey Ford, incarcerated Jeffrey Ford, the chief. Anybody who knows anything about the city of Chicago has to know the history of the Black Stones. They started off as a community-orientated group, pretty much, you know what I'm saying, to uplift the community. And then, of course, eventually things got corrupted, but they've always considered themselves somewhat as a religious type thing, and you're going to hear this cat talk about it right now.
He is thrown on the corner in the sense that somebody who was treated as if they were nothing, somebody who was treated as if they wouldn't ever accomplish anything, like be anything, could be someone great. That was the basis of Blackstone, and that's what turned Blackstone into a religion, and it was our religion. We didn't need Christianity. We didn't need the Arab religion of Islam or anything like that. All we needed was Blackstone. In ourselves, we could beat somebody. And that's what we followed. And through the process of growing up and fighting GD and gang banging, we all got tore down, in and out of prison. Some of us even lost the whole concept of Blackstone and who we were.
That proved my point right then and there. You know what I'm saying?
Especially at the end where he talks about where he said they lost the sight of actually who they were. You know, because from what I know of the guy, just a brief little history that I looked up at him is that they actually did try to start as like a religious group. I don't know if it was the camouflage, what they were doing on the other side of the road, but I mean, it sounded like what he was saying is it got so out of hand that all that just went out the window, all the religious aspects of it.
Yeah, well, you know, just like with anything else, money got involved. You know, and when money gets involved, and when you're in an environment where you're starving, you know, what are you going to do? And then you have other people, you know, like the Stones, they had to contend with. He was speaking about how they had to contend with the GDs moving in on their territory. So they had to fight, you know, for their territory against the Gangster Disciples, you know, which
just,
you know, not to cut you off, but, you know, they're another gang. Look at their, you know, they embed the 6-point star as their symbol, the Star of David, you know, which is kind of crazy because it's like, does that tie into the Jewish religion? Where does that Star of David come from with the Gangster Disciples? I haven't looked too deep into it. I've spoken with a few people about it, and, you know, it might be something we can have on the show in the future. You know, we're going to definitely talk more about gangs and religion in the future. But, yeah, man, this shit is deep. And I've noticed, too, brother, here in Chicago, many of the Latin gangs have symbols like the cross. They have symbols like, there's even gangs called the Insane Popes, you know, where like a pope figure is a symbol with the cross and the bishops, you know, where they... you know, they got a bishop figure as a mascot, the Latin souls, the Latin counts, the almighty Latin angels where they got the halo and the angel. And many of the Latin gangs tend to have the Catholic symbols. A lot of the black gangs, you know, have a lot of Muslim symbols and stuff of that nature. But Chicago, man, there's even a DVD out called, you know, in Chicago, gangbanging is a religion. And these motherfuckers, believe me, I grew up in Berwyn, which is about, you know, maybe 10 minutes from Chicago tops. If you're on the borderline of Cicero, you can get there in 5 minutes. All you got to do is go down 22nd Street and you're there. But it's serious shit. These motherfuckers got laws. They got codes. They will beat your fucking ass or kill you over this shit. It's one of the most violent cities on the planet. You know, it's right up there with places like Juarez and El Salvador and different places of that nature. So, yeah, they don't fuck around over there. You know?
And when you're speaking on these Latin gangs, man, I mean, the most known Latin gang aside from probably MS-13 in the United States, I would say, is probably the Latin Kings. And,
yeah.
Man, these dudes are strict. It's a very, very strict gang, if not maybe one of the most disciplined gangs that we have in America. And they have their own religion called Kingism.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's very strict. I mean, you can look it up and these guys take this shit, like, serious. It's like a Christian with the Bible or a Muslim with his Quran. And it's a bunch of strict-ass codes and guidelines, and it has constitution, and they follow the teachings to the T. And it's King Manifesto, I believe. And, man, you can find traces of, like, Marxism, Christianity, Confucianism, and all kind of revolutionary and historical worldviews, and they just take it all, man, everything that they believe, and they put it in one and call it Kingism. And, you know, they'll try to say that it's not, like, their religion, but, man, from what I've read and what I've seen in the few kings that I've known in my life, that, I mean, these dudes take it straight serious.
Hella serious.
If you just Kingism to their face, I mean, you're going to get cut up and probably tossed over the Brooklyn Bridge or something.
Yeah, again, this is another I've seen firsthand. I've seen so many different, you know what I'm saying, Latin Kings. I went to school with Latin Kings. These motherfuckers ain't no joke. And, you know, of course it started in Chicago, but it actually, you know, it spread all the way to the East Coast. And there was a documentary on HBO some years ago about King Tone. King Tone was the Inca over there in New York. And this motherfucker, he was getting ready to go to jail, and he preached a sermon to his congregation, which it's crazy. If you see this video, the whole church is just full of Latin Kings, and every you know, he's basically talking about who he wants to run shit while he's locked down. But every time he says something, you know, these motherfuckers get up and throw up the sign, and you know, they praise this guy like he's a godlike figure. I'm gonna play a clip from that real quick. This is you know, the Latin Kings in New York, and I believe King Tone is now out of jail too. So I'd definitely love to get him on the show in the future.
My responsibility was to make sure that if I ever leave, that I will leave the right people in charge to run the nation. I chose to leave a team with a council and give each borough two people in charge. Amor de Rey,
Amor de Rey.
And that's for the time of my imprisonment in Brooklyn, Sammy and G. Long Island, Solo and Cano, stand up. If you don't like none of them, that's your problem, leave. Because if you tell me it's all gonna fall apart because I'm leaving, you ain't got no faith, and you insult me and my crown and my nation, because this will go on with or without me. Amor de Rey?
You know, it ain't going to be the same out here without him. You know, we just came to show our support.
Yeah, I mean, when you see the video of that, you know, I mean, it's like all them dudes are like just straight up like, wow, this guy is the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, you ain't even got to see the video. You could hear it in his voice. You could just hear that he's got control and he maintains control. And if you don't like it, he said get out. But as soon as you walk out, you're a dead motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There is no walking out, you know.
In most any gang, there's no walking out. Of course, you know, some do, and some are still alive to tell about it. But they got their own struggles dealing with that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
The Kings, man, that clip was powerful. Those dudes, man, they're very structured. I mean, even in their little Bible on Kingism that they got, I mean, they got everything from the primitive stage to where the member, you know, they know he's going to be immature. They know he might make mistakes and stuff. So, you know, he's just got to be the street warrior. He just has to know everything about kingism. And then, man, it goes all the way up to the new king stage, to the conservative stage. And they even got a stage called the mummy stage, where a member is, you know, he gets tired of the street life, but he still accepts the life of being a king. So then he's in the mummy stage. And I mean, they got everything completely thought out, man. It's insane to just go over it. If you get a chance, Google kingism and go over it, and it's crazy. It's so structured. It's perfect.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's just one, you know, one gang, which is one of the largest gangs in the nation. But like you said, you got MS-13s, you got the Vice Lords, you got the Gangster Disciples. You know, you got so many different gangs. I mean, Chicago alone, go to Chicago Gangs, I believe it's chicagogangs.org. I'm going to make sure that, look that fucking shit up, man, and look how many different, it is chicagogangs.org. Look how many different gangs are there, and then compare, you know, all the symbolism. Like there's a cartoon right now, and I can see so many different, you know, like dudes with staffs, dudes with crosses, you know what I'm saying? Dudes, you know, dressed like they're like some type of biblical figures, or you know, they got hats like the, you know like imperial crowns, all kinds of different things, and it's very interesting, man. Like you said, the structure is unbelievable. It's just fucking crazy, you know. But let's move on. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk a little bit about, what you were saying about the Nazis.
Yeah, the Nazis. Jeez, man. When you think of the Nazis, I mean, you don't automatically think like, the Nazis, they were a gang. But, I mean, pretty much there was a big-ass gang that was going around, and pretty much they try to do what every gang does, is take over the fucking world, take over their block, take over the city, the hood, whatever they need to do to gain their power. But a little bit of background is, in 1920, the Nazi Party, it said, you join our party, the Nazi Party, and you're guaranteed freedom from all religious denominations that are not hostile to the state, which would be the Nazi state, which I assume they're talking about Germany. But they go on to say that the Nazis want to combat by using a positive Christianity outlook to combat the Jewish material spirit. And what they did is they got a book, and it was a modified version of Christianity, which emphasized racial purity and nationalism and you know, the whole blonde hair, blue eye thing. But what made these guys different is they were aided by, like, theologians and doctors and scientists and philosophers. And there was one guy named Ernest Bergman. He was a doctor. I think he might have been a philosopher. But he wrote a book, and you can find his book still to this day. And I can't pronounce the name in German, but it translates to 25 points of the German religion. And what this book said was that the Old Testament and portions of the New Testament of the Bible were false and inaccurate. And this guy claims in his book that Jesus, he wasn't a Jew, he wasn't Arab. This guy claims that Jesus was Aryan. He was like from Germany or Sweden or somewhere. And in the book, it claims that Adolf Hitler was the new Messiah. And they would go around, and I don't know if you ever heard of the Protestant Martin Luther, but he like posted up a bunch of stuff on church doors way back in the day. I think they might have killed his ass, I don't remember. But the Nazis would publicly display like original stuff that Luther wrote on the Jews and dissing the Jews and saying they're lying and all this stuff. And I mean, they endorsed that pro-Nazi German Christian organization up until the end. If the party's still active, I'm sure to this day they probably still do the same thing. And I mean, they hated the Catholics because, you know, most Catholics, they supported a different party. It was like the German Century Party or something. I should have wrote it down, but I can't remember. But But that's who they were going against, man, the Jewish and the fucking Catholics. They were ready to take on the whole world, and they tried that shit.
Yeah, they did. They did.
And they lost.
It's funny.
I mean, they won, if you think of the death rate, but eventually they lost.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about, you know what I'm saying, the Nazis and with racism and stuff, you know, the KKK. Let's get into these guys. These motherfuckers are historically known as being a so-called Christian organization, but, you know, they hung people from trees, they murdered people, burned crosses on people's lawns. I'm going to play a clip of a song for everybody. This is a KKK theme song, I guess. And I mean, just listen to these fucking idiots.
The Bible calls so good to our simple drop of man. A sword and water, rope and hood portray our noble plan. In search of peace and liberty, we pledge our hearts and hands. We must defeat the communists to save our Christian land. Stand up and be counted, show the world that you're a man. Stand up and be counted, go with the Ku Klux Klan. Stand up and be counted, show the world that you're a man. Stand up and be counted, go with the Ku Klux Klan.
To save our Christian land. Now, I mean, if you look at the KKK historically, these guys are just brutal as fuck. They're one of the most hateful organizations ever spawned.
They didn't even start out as a religious group. I mean, if I'm correct, they started out as a bunch of Confederate soldiers who were actually Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
they were down
exactly.
With the Democrat Party.
It was their protest against, the Civil War, and
of course, and just like the Nazis, they were cool with Christianity and stuff, but they were against the Jews and the Catholics. And it's funny how a group like the KKK who obviously hate blacks and hate Mexicans and hate Chinese and everybody else of any kind of a different ethnic background are going to worship and base their life off Jesus Christ, who is obviously Arab.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ, you know, if that's something you believe in, he was from, the Middle East. But you look at these guys, they're talking about, you know, Anglo-Saxon and, Celtic blood. And like you said, blonde hair, blue eyed, whitey, pretty much. You know, these motherfuckers, they have no room in their organization for anybody but themselves.
No, and
they're fucking
the thing is about the KKK, man, is they could sit there and they could love Jesus and love their God and love Christianity. But I guarantee fucking to you, if they was at the goddamn flea market and they saw Jesus Christ walking through the crowd, they would attack that motherfucker, hang him from a cross, and burn him to death, not knowing that that was Jesus. All they see is he had a different color skin,
yeah.
Not knowing that he may be a man of peace or a man of all love, love everybody, will forgive you for everything. They don't see shit like that. But yet, if you go to their websites and shit, that's all it's about is preaching the love of Jesus and taking back, like the song said, their Christian land.
Yeah.
Which, This land was founded on getting away from religion, getting the fuck out of Europe and Britain and escaping their religious shit.
But it was also founded on the genocide of the natives and on the backs of the slaves. And when the slaves were freed, this group was a vigilante group, who targeted freedmen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They targeted against freed black slaves. And, you know, did all kinds of horrible things. And actually, you're right, the group was founded in 1865, right at the end of the Civil War. It was founded by 6 veterans of the Confederate Army. And, you know, the name is, it derives from Greek, kuklos, K-U-K-L-O-S, which means circle, suggesting a circle or band of brothers. And that's what it was. These motherfuckers, they were so mad that the slaves were freed that they decided to form this sick, twisted organization to attack them. So fuck the KKK. You know, like Willie D said, fuck the KKK.
I agree. Fuck the KKK. Put that on record. And all the KKK people that me and Brother Solomon have called in the past trying to get interviews from you fags and having to sit there and listen to your hateful ass rants on your answering machines and shit, man. Fuck y'all bitches.
Definitely. Well, with that being said, let's go into the choir. This first song from the choir is by Brother Born Twice out of Houston, Texas. The name of this song is called Heaven for a G. It came out in 1996 on the album Portrait of a Serial Player.
About this rap game. They think you just get in and it's a bunch of diamond rings and gold and glory. Check it out. Now tell me, God, are you looking over me? A crazy ass looked out motherfucking cheek. The money just ain't flowing like it was with all my homies and my so-called friends. Is they going cause they towing my bins? I got about one more chance and all I'm seeing is death. Or born twice being tone deaf and phoneless and homeless. I'm true to this rap shit, so kill me. So much I'm smoking and drinking and popping motherfucking pills. What happened to the fat ass checks and all of the sex? What's next? Me a crackhead in some motherfucking project. I'm turning into the fiends I used to serve, G. And I know I'm deserving everything I'm getting from where I was sitting. Molestation, premature ejaculation of a child. Niggas in my mama pussy going fuck. Why fuck I gotta do to roll a step or a lesson? Is there a heaven for a G? I'm walking through the valley of death, hoping everything is gonna be fine. Knew I was running out of time. I'm praying that my sons ain't crying. The older racers.
Is there a heaven for a G?
I'm walking through the valley of death, hoping everything is gonna be fine. Knew I was running out of time. I'm praying that my cousins ain't crying. The overrated will be just like me.
Is there a heaven for a G?
It ain't no love in H-Town, but it's still my city. Niggas is slanging and bitches, but they rich and shaking titty. The only love in Houston, Texas is the table dance. No men's Alexis in your ass, they got a fucking chance. They wonder why. Hungry hoes, niggas smoking other niggas, so my day is involved. We in the last day, so yo, I'm trying to hurry, G, and get my shit right with y'all before they bury me. But I ain't really tripping if they catch me slipping. I get to kick it with my homie Kevin C. That nigga was out sick through the valley of death. I'm hoping everything is gonna be fine. Knew I was running out of time. I'm praying that my sons ain't crying. The overrated will be just like me.
Like that, Yo, that's a dope ass song, by the way. But all the references to heaven and will I get accepted, and but then the motherfuckers talking about pulling straps and fucking bitches and slanging dope, and, which I ain't got nothing against that. Do what you gotta do, but at the end of the day, if there is a heaven and a place that's sacred, how do you expect to get in there if you're running around doing all that shit?
It's a big thing in rap music. Even in gangster rap, you always hear, you know, the hardest gangster rapper always mentions God and mentions heaven and love and peace, and then he might turn around on the next song and just be talking about being a super killer and just being the most hardcore gangster that you could possibly think of. And it's really hard, in my opinion, to separate the two. I mean, I'm sure a rapper, he sees himself as a Christian, and you also got to think that a lot of these rappers, man, they're probably not out there killing people, and they're probably not out there selling, you know, 8 balls of crack cocaine every other hour on the street. I mean, these guys they're entertainers for the most part. I'm not taking everything away from every gangster rapper that's ever been, because there are some real gangster rappers, but you know, you gotta realize that these guys, they're probably not doing that.
Yeah.
So then bringing God into their song, then maybe that's their way of bringing some truth to the song, the truth in their opinion to the song, rather than saying, you know, I'm out here killing and raping these hoes and selling this dope and all this when they're not.
Yeah, and that brings the whole theory of, okay, let's sin, you know, Monday through Saturday, but on Sunday we'll repent and beg for forgiveness. And Monday start all over again. You know, so you can't do it both ways, folks. Either you're in that religion shit, you know, full-fledged 100%, or you're not. But then you know what people say? Well, nobody's perfect. Jesus wasn't perfect.
It's exactly like Tupac. When you think of Tupac, man, you think of the famous pictures of him praying or some of his favorite famous songs, you know, Only God Can Judge Me and all
dope
of
ass
Pac
songs, by the way.
Yeah. All of Pac songs always mention God, and you know, he was always, when the Muslim die, and he was always on the black power of Islam, the Nation of Islam, and he mentions God and Jesus, and he mentions all these people, but then makes a song like Hit 'Em Up, talking about fucking a dude's wife, which is a commandment that you're not supposed to do, and so it goes hand in hand. You know what I'm saying? He one minute he's all great and loving it and peaceful, and then the next minute you might be at the studio and he could be at your house fucking your wife.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to watch out for Pac, people. If he's still out there, watch out for him. He's coming in the back door.
Yeah, Pac and Hulk Hogan and Elvis Presley. They're ready to fuck your wives. But, yeah, it's some real shit, man. Well, what about the Hell's Angels?
The Hell's Angels are
notoriously known.
When I was looking up the Hell's Angels, man, I noticed that not only are they a motorcycle club, but they go out of their way to make sure that people know that they're not a religious movement and they're not a church, and the Hell's Angels are one group, one of the only groups that don't care what you believe in, and they don't care what your religion is. As long as you represent that patch on your back, they don't care if you're a Satanist or a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever the hell you want to be. They let you choose. And they also want to say that they're not a satanic gang, or they don't satanic worship or any of those rituals. I think they got their name from like an old movie that was called Hell's Angels. But a funny thing that I found was Hunter S. Thompson. A lot of people know Hunter S. Thompson for his writings.
Yeah.
But he actually went to a Hell's Angels initiation of some new members, and he witnessed the initiation of a new recruit, and he wrote in a book. Shit, I can't remember the name of the book. I should have wrote that down, too. I'm terrible at this. I apologize to the congregation. You got to bear with me, because I'm going to just go off the top of my head what I remembered. But he said that they made the guy, like, strip down butt naked, And while they were preparing for his initiation, one of the members of the Hells Angels went around with a big-ass 5-gallon bucket and collected shit and piss and spit and puke and beer and fucking everything you can think of in this bucket. And they made him strip down butt naked, and they dumped the bucket on the dude. And his clothes was on the ground, and it said that after they dumped a bucket of shit on you, they make you wear those same clothes until they're so ratted and torn that they just fall off of you. And Hunter S. Thompson, in his book, he said that he referred to it as a baptism into the Hell's Angels.
Fuck that. That's all I got to say.
And the Hell's Angels are thick. And I don't know if that's something they do, you know, for every initiation, because I've heard on Ganglands where they will strip you butt naked and make you hold onto a chain that they tie to the back of a motorcycle, and they just drag you around the desert and shit. And the first person to let go don't get into the gang.
Yes, fuck that shit. You know what I'm saying?
But motorcycle gangs, man, it's one of the only gangs. They don't even like to be called gangs. They like to be called clubs. But there's tons of motorcycle gangs out there, man, that, you know, they got the Barbarossas, and they got the Mongols, and
Satan side,
and of course, the Hell's Angels. But on the other side, there is also a large amount of motorcycle gangs that are religious riders.
Yeah.
And where I'm from out here, there's tons of I think they're called Riders for Christ or something like that, but you see them all the time riding, and I mean, these guys are tattooed up and they wear the bandanas, and you couldn't even tell.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell if they were a Christian
rider,
gang or a bad gang.
Yeah.
There's tons of stories about, you know, biker gangs that camouflage themselves as a Christian ministry and ride around. There's actually a story about a guy named Philip Aguilera. He was pretty popular in the Southern California biker world. He inspired Christian behavior among bikers, and it was a real peaceful gang. This guy, he counseled Hell's Angels, and he would marry Mongols in his house and stuff. And if you was a motorcycle enthusiast that was in a gang or needed help and stuff, you could sleep on his couch, and he would help you get off drugs and stuff. And I mean, in 2009, his whole congregation, the whole gang, got busted, and it was over like a 25-year period that this guy was preaching all this stuff and helping all these people, but behind the scenes, he was doing the same thing that he was helping them stop doing.
Yeah.
And he got busted. So just because, you know, that maybe you preach all this stuff and you do it, that it's hard to get out of that gang lifestyle.
Yeah,
even with something as powerful as the Word of God and how it helps so many people around the world, it can't help everybody. And I think if you're a gangster, it'd probably be really hard to get out of that gang lifestyle.
Same thing with the church in general. I mean, you can compare this to the gang lifestyle too. Many churches, once you get out, you're shunned, or you're forbidden in the community, and it's like once you leave, they don't want you no more. You know, they don't want nothing to do with you, and it's fucked up. Of course, some gangs, if you try to leave, you get fucking murked. You know, up to see Brother King Herod and Brother Solomon. You know, but everybody listening, you know, tune in. You know what I'm saying, every Sunday right here at 9 p.m. Central. But UGS Radio, we got other shows. I'm going to go off into a couple commercials. Please go to ugsforlife.com/UGS Radio. And, call into this motherfucker, 714-409-0548. Hit number one. That's the only way we can see you on the boards. We'll be right back here with Church of Reality, Episode 6, Gangs and Religion.
What the fuck have y'all been doing these past few Saturdays, man, around 7 p.m.? Don't answer that. Let me guess. You loser-ass motherfuckers that haven't been doing shit. And your plans, man, let's be honest about ourselves, man. Your plans probably ain't gonna be changing in the near foreseeable future. So why don't you spend your Saturdays kicking with me and my constituents, man, on KFYB, only on UGS Radio. We're doing it live, so you can call in, share your opinion, your complaints, and I'll tell you that you ain't shit. And their music, man, we do that shit on Wednesdays, every fucking genre you want. So kick with me, man. KFYB, UGS Radio.
Out the motherfucking Murder Master Music Show every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central. blogtalkradio.com/Murder Master Music Show. Also visit ugsforlife.com/UGS Radio. We play nothing but the hardest shit from around the globe and interview legends and pioneers of the motherfucking rap game. Call-in number is 714-409-0548.
Yeah, we're back here, you know, Church Reality. Definitely, you know, check out every Saturday, 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. On the West Coast, you know, KFYB, Fuck You Bitch, with Devil Six, Velvet Rose, and Mac J. They got one hell of a show. Very good format of a show. Matter of fact, we're going to bring on, the Brother Six right now. We're going to do what we like to call this segment as Six on the Eighth. You know, I'm sure the brother has got some good herb to review. That's what we like doing here at Church Reality. So check this shit out.
Get your lighters, pack your bowl, roll your shit up, man. This is Six on the Eighth.
What's going on, y'all, man? Y'all called me medicated off the own shit I'm reviewing, so... give me like a minute. This shit right here is Fire OG, man. It's really nice. If you like OG Kush, this is that shit, but that much more better. Has a nice lemon, piney taste to it. 2-3 hour long experience you have with this one. Couch lock like a motherfucker. Hey, you sitting down. Like right now, I'm in this fucking car. I'm breathing in more of that shit that was in there earlier. And I'm just fucking incapacitated, so it's a couch lock one. But it has you creative and thinking and euphoric. This is a good strain of smoke if you want to get some ideas going. Get your thinking cap on and light one up. This is that shit to do it with. So definitely, you're having a writer's block. Whatever the fuck you're doing is creative. You need help with. Even especially in time, you motherfuckers can't sleep. You up at fucking 4 or 5 in the morning. This shit will hit right here. Smoke it. Close your eyes. You'll be out like you just got socked in the face. Fire OG. That's this week's shit right here. Go find it from your local weed man. Support local business. Hit him up.
Hey, that's what's up. Hey, Six.
Right here, what up?
Man, you there too, Brother Harris?
Yeah. Hey, no sandwich making tips today, huh?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, man. If you get the honey, it makes a wonderful dressing on top of your French toast or your pancake. Check that out.
You just smoked some, didn't you?
Oh, my God, yeah. So it did probably 15 minutes ago. As y'all were doing the show, I was lighting one up.
It really
nice shit.
That initial first fucking rush, you know what I'm saying? What's it like? How can you describe it?
It starts as a cerebral high, but it works its way down to the total body and just has you knocked out. And so then you're sitting down, you're losing track of time. This is this way, and you know, you're just mechanically puffing and taking a hit. Next, you know, it's burning your fingertips. I got what I have, you know, I got fucking weed nails. I got my thumb and my pointer finger growing out so I can fucking just hold my roach. You know, it's a little burnt on the side, so next you know it's all burnt out to ash. That's that kind of shit as you losing track of time and just locked on the fucking chair. Any nice shit. Next strain I got, though, man, I got some cherry cookies. Fans of cherry pie and the Girl Scout cookies or the various cookie strains, I got cherry cookies this week. I'm going to let y'all know about it next week. This is some very nice shit, too. The bag smells amazing. I got the bag. It smells amazing. Get them to support your local weed, man. Hit them up. Ask around. I'm sure somebody hook you up. Usually I say Harborside, but, you know, you got to support your local businesses, your friends. You know, find a weed dude, man. Make some friendships. Let's build a fucking network. Hit them up. Support local businessmen, and let's keep this shit going. But also, if you do get a medical call, go to Harborside, but they don't have this shit yet. So ask around first.
Yeah, you got to seek and you shall find, brother.
Oh, yeah. You got to go on that Jewish. How long were those fucking TV bastards walking around the desert? Like 40 years or some nonsense, and Moses dropped dead. Or he got killed by one of those troops because he was like a conquering bastard. So, yeah, you know, you put your fucking barefoot Moses sandals on, you walk around, and you will find it. Seek.
That's what's up. That's what's up. The 6th on the 8th.
Jewish roots. Yeah, for sure. Catch y'all Saturday.
Get your lighters, pack your bowl, roll your shit up, man. This is 6 on the 8th.
And if you tuning in, if you like 6 on the 8th, man, man, get ready for UGS Magazine, October 31st, Halloween, this
yes,
fucking year. 6 on the 8th is going to have a column in there. It's going to take pictures, you know, review these strains that he's talking about right here. So we look forward to that shit. And cop that fucking magazine. We also, you know, the Brother Swoop's got a free album to download, I'm a Murderer. So cop that shit. $2. How the fuck you go wrong? You know what I'm saying? Keep checking.
$2. $2 and a gold coin. Send us your gold coins.
Send us a Judah Crucify. We're down for that too. We got a few. I heard Jesus
man,
was coming back. Is it true, Harry?
Jesus is coming back.
Yeah, I heard Jesus.
Jesus or Judas?
No, Jesus. I heard Jesus was going to come back.
I hope he does. I hope he does.
Yeah,
I'd like to meet him. I want to know what he's got to say to Judas. I think he's got some strong words for Judas' ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's gonna fuck Judas up. But I heard the government's right now is working on a hologram to project an image of Jesus into the sky. Now, of course, this is just reported here, say conspiracies, whatever you want to call it. But you know, you saw that Tupac hologram. It wouldn't be shit to fucking project something up into the sky. And you know, motherfuckers, as soon as they see that, I mean, millions of people are gonna just hit their fucking knees and start praying, and, oh, forgive me, they want to get that golden ticket, that Willy Wonka fucking prize up into the pearly gates, and they think when they see that hologram up there in the clouds, it's going to be
surely they're going to know it's just a hologram.
Well, ones with brains, yes, but I'm talking about the holy rollers that are fucking out of their mind. You know, the ones that speak in tongues, the ones that wear the skirts, the crazy fucking magic underwear, the goofballs, the ones that want to have Jesus take the wheel in March. There's a Jesus take the wheel day. Those are the ones I'm talking about. They're going to see some image up in the sky. They're not going to know it's a hologram. They're going to think it's Jesus coming for them. They're going to fucking be disappointed when the shit just fades away. Or there's a glitch in the hologram and they see lines going through it or something.
What if they had a glitch and Tupac just appeared?
Yeah, Tupac went from Jesus to Tupac. And all of a sudden he's like, yeah, motherfuckers. And then rapping ass Rob comes out of a cloud and they all fucking rap. Fuck it. I don't give a shit.
I think if the government is really planning to project a hologram in the sky of Jesus that it probably wouldn't be the smartest place to do it in America. They should probably, like, go to one of those countries where
Jerusalem.
The internet and Google and stuff isn't allowed.
Yeah, because there'd be a lot of videotapes and, you know, but that's definitely on the horizon, folks, so to speak, pardon the pun, but, you know, keep looking up in the sky as you see those beautiful chemtrails. Maybe one day you might just see the eyes of Christ looking down upon you. But let's get back into the show. You said something about Judas. What's up with this motherfucker?
And I ain't talked to Judas since last week. I checked the mail earlier, and I had a little guy out there on a camel that had a package for me. And I opened the package up, and, well, you know, it was another another Judas poem that he sent. And the crazy thing is, as much as everybody hates Judas and as much as he's a little snitching-ass bitch, and in this poem he claims that him and Jesus, they started a gang together. And if you listen close, this dude even goes on to say that American gangs stole their name.
Wow.
Which I don't know. Judas is a crazy bastard. I'd recommend not to fuck with him, though, because he'll snitch on you.
Oh, the evil god of destruction, Six, just told me to inform everybody, if you do see Jesus or any other god, you have to eat him. And, well, first you have to kill him, then eat him. And apparently, I need to get more information about this. This is breaking news. I'm going to bring back on Devil Six. Mr. Six, what's going on with this? Why do we have to eat God? And we'll first kill him, then eat him.
African tradition. You see God, you have to kill and eat him. So they do the reptilians, too.
That's what he did. Now, where does Drakon fall into play here?
I'm telling listeners, go to YouTube, look up his name, Credo, C-R-E-D-O, Mutwa, M-U-T-W-A. He breaks it down for you. There's a tradition in Africa where if you see a god, you must kill and, you know, consume him to get special powers and omnipotence. And at one point, this dude had a claim, you know, basically found one. Or his boy said, come here, I dug a hole in the backyard. They went down there and said, we have to eat this now. There's something we can only eat in the dark in a pit.
You have to eat it in a pit in the dark. You can't eat God anywhere else, huh?
He explained that the texture was, you know, like fleshy, and it tasted like copper. You know, that blood taste. and everybody got sick. Him and his wife, everybody who ate it got sick, but they didn't die. And his buddy explained to him, like, hey, you know, if you didn't die, that means you get powers or some shit, that you survived it. Test. So, and the next thing, you know, he says everything he sees is vivid and clear, and everything is amazing, and he can see all kinds of shit. I guess if you see God, you know, kill the motherfucker and eat him. I think I would. If I see someone and he's pretty much Jesus reincarnated, and it's confirmed, he's holy, I'm going to cut that fucker's heart out and eat him right there in the public.
Yeah, but aren't you gonna barbecue him or smoke him? Or?
No, because security's going to swarm on me. I have to get there right now and do it.
You have to just eat the motherfucker raw.
Because if he's been confirmed as God and he has powers, he's doing miracles on TV, he's going to have security teams on him. The Vatican is going to be trying to use this fuck. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get in the shadows with my fucking knife, creep out, and carve that shit right out of his goddamn chest and eat it raw on TV while he's doing a speech or while he was. And that's how you become a god yourself. I did it, so you may as well call me God.
That's what's up. That's what's up, God. We thank you for this information.
Oh,
if I see God, I'm going to kill him and rip his heart out.
Reptilians, listeners, look them up. They're much more pleasing and gentle creatures than these stupid fucking Christians, at least when they eat you.
Did you just say a genital creature?
Gentle. It was more
gentle.
I thought you said
rather
genital
have
creature.
I think I'd sit down and talk with one of these creatures. And I would when he fucks Christian motherfuckers, because, I mean, who gives a fuck about God and these corny crosses? If these motherfuckers worship a corpse on two planks of wood, what kind of dumb, morbid shit is that?
Hey, we manufacture crosses
retarded.
Left and right. We got the Jews working right now building tons of crosses for crucifixion.
No, it's modern day. I thought you said you have a bunch of Buddhist, slant-eyed, pan-faced, fried rice eating gooks building these days in little tiny sweatshops where they earn nothing but nickels on a dime or something.
Well, those are plastic crosses. But, you know, same thing. It's just, you know, the body falls off of them easier than the wooden crosses.
The old school.
I prefer the old
school. Manufactured. Oh, they're still manufactured by the cheap hook nose.
Railroad spikes and a wooden cross is the best thing rather than just like staples and a plastic cross. But thank you for that information. It's some breaking, powerful news right here. As always, we appreciate it.
Kill a god, eat a god, get his powers. If you don't die, if they don't kill you, within 2 or 3 days, you'll become kind of special yourself. So check it out. If you see Jesus, you see Buddha, you see Allah, you see, I don't know what the fuck the Jews believe in, you see a big dollar symbol walking around, and let's kill that motherfucker and eat him, because you get powers and shit.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is the God killer, Hester. But yeah, okay. We definitely know now if we do see God, we have to immediately kill him and rip his heart out. Are you down for that, King Herod?
Well, from what I've read about God, he's a mean motherfucker, and I probably wouldn't be able to kill him. He'd probably fucking wipe the fucking floor at my little ass.
You'd have to get him quick. It'd have to be stealth. It'd have to be quick. I mean, you'd have to be doing some Wing Chun techniques on him and, you know, just drop him. But let's get back to Judas. Before, you know, with this revelation from God Killer came through, we had, you know, we were talking about Judas. So you said you got a clip. Should we play it?
Yeah, go ahead and play the clip of Judas and see what the hell he has to say.
Judas Poems, Week 6.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters, for another edition of Judas Poems. Tonight's poem goes hand in hand with the subject, gangs and religion. And some of y'all might remember from my earlier days that I, too, Judas, was in a gang. It's something I'm not very proud of. I was in a gang with my brother Jesus. He was the leader. There was 13 of us. It was Jesus and the disciples. And nowadays, you may know our gang to have grown all over the world. Some call it the Gangster Disciples. Some call them the Disciples, the Satan Disciples. There's a lot of disciple sets out in the world, and I'm proud to be part of that set. Some people say that we started this whole shit, you know. Jesus and the 12 Disciples, they say that we ran this shit. But some people say that I killed my own brother. Imagine that. It's like Al Capone killing his capo, you know what I'm saying? But check this out. Let's get to the poems, folks. Tonight's poem is by Nathan Hale. It's called First We Pray. Heavenly Father, shine your light on me. I know I promised to slow down on this weed. It seems like I remember someone used to say, if one life gets taken, you gotta take one life away. What are we gonna do when the trials come? Are you gonna run? Are you gonna run? What you gonna do? First I'm gonna pray. Are you gonna run? You motherfucking right. Because first we pray, then we ride. And first we pray, and then we ride.
That is some deep shit. That is definitely some deep shit right there. I just got a message again from Godkiller 6, and he just sent me what this guy Credo was talking about when he was talking about eating the heart of God. I'm gonna read this real quick. Do you have any objections on that, King Herod?
The fact that it has nothing to do with gangs and religion, I guess. Go ahead.
No, this is a different. We'll get into the gangs here in a minute, but this is crazy. Okay, this is Credo. What's his name? Mutwa, whatever the fuck you say. Says their flesh. This is him referring to eating gods. Their flesh is protein, just as animal flesh on Earth is. But anyone who ingests gray alien flesh comes very, very close to death. I nearly did. You see, in Lesotho, there is a mountain called Laribra, whatever the fuck that is. It is called the Crying Stone Mountain. On several occasions in the last 50 years or so, alien craft have crashed against this mountain. Now, you know, it's not hard to believe because they have proven, you know, ancient alien land strips and all kinds of shit. And one incident was reported in the newspapers not so long ago. An African who believes that these creatures are gods, when they find the corpse of a dead gray alien, they take it, put it in a bag, and drag it into the bush, where they dismember it and ritually eat it. But some of them die as a result of ingesting that thing. I like how they call God that thing. After about a year before I had the experience from the Inyangigani Mountains, I can't even pronounce that, I had been given by a friend of mine in Lesbo flesh from what he called a sky god. I was skeptical. He gave me a small lump of gray, rather dry stuff, which he said was the flesh. And he said that I and his wife ritually ate this thing one night. after we had eaten this thing, he calls it the sting again, on the following day, exactly, our bodies erupted into a rash, which was like nothing I had experienced before in my life. Our bodies were so full of a rash, it was as if we had smallpox. Okay, this is crazy. I read as much as I can without literally just keeling over laughing to death, so I'm going to save this for another occasion. We got to get back into the show.
Sounds like we need to do an episode on reptilians.
Yes, yes, we will. We definitely will. And on that episode, we need to bring in the God Killer himself to help us out, because he has extensive knowledge on this whole reptilian thing and the eating of the gray
and
aliens.
What's sad is when I think of the reptilian religion, I think of that dude from Mortal Kombat, the reptilian.
Reptile. Yeah, reptile.
Oh, yeah, I don't know his damn name.
But anyway, we got to get back to the show. Judas Poems, he came through again. That fucking snitch has always got something to say. What are your takes, Brother Herod, on this whole gang religious similarities?
I think the similarities are right there in front of our face. I mean, the organization, I mean, the recruiting, the wars, the hatred, the love, the peace, the fucking my brother, you know, your brother, we're all brothers, same as in the church, same as in the gang. You know, if you're a member of the, say, the 22nd Baptist Church, then most likely you're not going to go over to the 24th Street Baptist Church and help them with their fundraisers. Same as if you're a member of the 22nd Street gang, you're not going to go to the 24th Street gang and help them sell drugs to get their revenue up. I mean, it's all the same, man. And from there's even famous gang members that have actually been known to switch into religion and do great things. And totally leave the whole gang life behind. So, I mean, it works. It works. And it don't work sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real shit. That's real shit. You know, some people actually leave the gang life behind completely and then jump into religion. And they
they do great things in their communities. I mean, let's talk about Tukey Williams for a minute. A lot of people might already know who Tukey Williams is. Surely you do if you're my age and you grew up on gangster rap and had any kind of interest in gangs at all. Stanley Tukey Williams, man, he's one of the founding members of the Crip gang in L.A. And I mean, of course, that gang it's huge now. It's I don't know if it's bigger than MS-13, but it's probably one of the biggest gangs there is. And like I said, this guy, he was one of the starters of the Crips. I mean, His wife was actually the first female member of the Crips. I mean, he was on drugs. He did crimes. There was like a couple botched robberies, and I think he killed a few fools at a 7-Eleven. And then there was a famous murders that he did at a motel. And he ended up getting on death row and sentenced to death. But while on death row, this dude, I mean, he changed his whole life.
Yeah. He was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, Nobel Peace Prize. I think they even said that even at the first years in prison, man, he was like threatening jurors and saying he was going to kill them. And they said he spent like 6.5 years in solitary confinement for beating up guards and other rival inmates and all that shit. But like you said, he won a Peace Prize. I think what was it for writing children's books or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
But his son, he has an older son who goes around. Of course, Tukey Williams was killed in, I don't want to say killed. He was put to death in 2005. I guess
like
you could say
murder.
Killed.
Yeah, murdered by Schwarzenegger.
He was put. He was put to death by the state of California in 2005 for many murders. So I don't condone murder, but you know, if you're in the gangbanging life, then there's a chance you're going to get murdered. And but like I said, his older son goes around and does speeches and talks to people about how how God came into Tukey, and Tukey was helping other people and helping other members of the prison, other inmates in the prison to find God and find many different gods, not just his God, but whatever God that they was interested in. And you know, he goes on to say, I mean, Tukey was a gang member and his mom was a gang member. All his brothers and sisters are gang members, and his one brother, actually Tukey, one of Tukey's youngest son, he was just convicted of murdering a 20-year-old woman in an alley in Hollywood. So this kid, he's grown up around all that, but now with all that he's seen and stuff, he's found God and he's changed his life, and he's working, he's making legal money, he don't gangbang no more, he's trying to help people. So there is some good that can come out of religion into the gang life. And
oh yeah.
And I'm not a religious person myself. I don't believe in religion, and I'm definitely not a supporter of gangbanging. But I think, you know, maybe one can help. Maybe religion can help gangbanging more than the vice versa. You know what I'm saying? Of course, gangbanging ain't gonna help religion then.
Yeah.
So maybe it does help in a certain way. And Tukey, I mean, he's not the only one. You got famous gang member, what's his name, Monster Cody. A lot of people know Monster Cody. He wrote a book and stuff. And I mean, dude was the ultimate gangbanger, a killer, a robber, a drug dealer. And he ended up going to prison in the 80s and befriended some dudes from the Republic of the New Africa movement. And he ended up changing his name to Sanyika Shakur. And this dude, he got out of prison and he was good for a while. But after that, you know, he started going back into the Grand Theft Autos and assaults and beating up crack dealers and all this stuff. And as a matter of fact, he just got out of prison this year. Finally.
Wow. Damn, that's crazy.
So now we can all sit back and see if all those years in prison and his newfound religion changed him at all. It's almost like we actually get to watch and see how it's going to pan out for the guy. Because it's got to be hard, man, going from the street life and the only thing you know and all this and then coming back into the streets and trying to not do that, not see your old friends, not go to the same places you used to, just stay in the house and try to be a whole different person.
Well, religion also works as intervention in many cases.
Yeah.
You know, like down in El Salvador, there's gangs down there, man. They're killing people at a rate of like 15 people a day in certain cities. I mean, it's really fucking bad. These are motherfuckers down there. They're tatting their whole fucking face up and going nuts. And there's this clip we're gonna play. We're religious institutions had to intervene, man. Why don't you explain that a little bit?
With the whole MS-13, is that what you're talking about, brother?
Yeah, El Salvador.
Yeah, down in El Salvador, man. I guess there's the MS-13, you know, and then there's another gang, and I want to say they're MS-18, but I'm not sure. But I mean, these guys have been straight going to war. 15 people dead every single day. I mean, that's high numbers. I'm not very good at math, but if you times 15 times 30 for each day in the month, I mean, that's going to be a massive number. And then you times it by 12 or whatever, and you got your answer for how many people die each year in El Salvador just of these gangs. But it took the leaders of the church, man. They came and they made a peace treaty with these two gangs that hate each other to death. And these two gangs, they vowed, they said, no more killings in the prisons and the streets, no more killings as long as these church leaders promised them sanctuary and peace and stuff. And the news was so big in El Salvador that the commander of the army announced the peace treaty. So, I mean, that's huge. And you know that it's definitely something that the citizens were scared of when the commander of the army has to announce it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I'm going to play this clip then. check this shit out. This is some serious shit all over the world, not just here in the United States, everywhere.
Killed in broad daylight in El Salvador's capital. Up to 15 people a day are murdered in this Central American country. The main reason for such violence? Fierce fighting between the Mara Salvatruchas and the Mara 18 gangs, two of the largest street gangs in the country. Their bloody battles over territory and drugs have given El Salvador one of the highest murder rates in the world. But last Friday, leaders of both gangs, who represent more than 100,000 members, announced they'd signed a truce, brokered by the church. The head of the army confirmed the peace agreement, as well as police chaplain Monsieur Fabio Colindres, who acted as an intermediary. A special mass was held at one of El Salvador's notorious prisons.
What has happened is extraordinary, and it has the blessing of God. It'll mean no more deaths on Salvadoran streets. There will be a new climate of peace we can breathe in. Naturally, this attitude on your part could only have come from God's love.
Church leaders say they acted without government involvement, but some are questioning that explanation. Speaking to Al Jazeera in January, one gang leader said any truce agreement would be highly unlikely without government involvement.
If the government wanted peace, all it would have to do would be to sit down and talk to the gangs. I can tell you with absolute certainty that we are ready to make peace if the government is willing to.
And El Faro, a leading investigative newspaper, says the government was involved in the truce, accusing it of handing out concessions, including the transfer of 30 gang leaders to lower security prisons.
When we broke the story, there was total silence about this. We stated, and we keep finding more and more proofs, that the government negotiated, actually, with the gang leaders, with some role of the church, with a crucial role of the church, to lower the homicide rates and their homicide actions in exchange for some concessions.
But the issue of making deals with gangs is sensitive, not least because the government receives millions of dollars of aid from the United States to combat drug trafficking and organized crime. If allegations that the government was involved with the deal prove to be true, it could turn out to be a big political headache for President Mauricio Funes, who has vowed to take a tough stance against organized crime. Rachel Levin, Al Jazeera.
Now, that's some deep shit right there. And you know, we're not big on religion. You know that by now after listening to these shows. But when they're able to intervene like that and stop, you know, killings, they're talking about 15 people getting killed a day. And remember, when gang warfare breaks out, it's not just the gangbangers killing each other. Many little kids get caught in the crossfire. Many, you know, innocent people that have nothing to do with this life get caught in the fucking crossfire. And, you know, so when the church steps up and does something like that, you definitely, that's one of the few times when they actually do something worth doing. Same thing with the government, man. When the government intervenes, you know, on that type of shit, you got to stop the killing, man. You got to put the fucking guns down. Point blank, you got to put the fucking guns down.
Now, I found it odd, man. After listening to that clip, it seemed real weird that, you know, it wasn't a South American a news company or a Mexican news company or a North American news company. It was fucking Al Jazeera, that actually reported that.
Yeah, because
I thought was crazy, because that's a Middle Eastern, and when you think of Al Jazeera, you know, you think of them. And terrorists and all that kind of stuff. So,
United States does not want to broadcast that because, you know, it's on record. Our military has given guns to cats in Mexico, and it was used. They claim it was used as a tactic to track the gang activity, but then they couldn't find the guns until, you know, our Border Patrol officers started getting killed by them, you know.
And that all dates back to the Iran-Contra affair and all that,
yeah,
all that bullshit.
CIA funds
the crack
this
epidemic.
Shit, man. They fund.
Ask OG Rick Ross about that. He'll tell you something about that shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it funds, you know, the drug game. That's why the shit's not legal. There's so much money being made. And it's not just the low end dealers on the streets making the money, or even the kingpins. It's these motherfuckers in high places of political power and religious power. I wouldn't be surprised if the Vatican's getting dope money. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I wouldn't doubt it, man. I mean, you could take religion and tie it to some of the biggest name gangsters that ever walked the streets. I mean, look at Al Capone. I mean, he was one of the biggest gangsters that most American knows. And he was Catholic. And if you think about it, I've read a couple books about Al Capone. And, I mean, he attended church. He gave super generously to the church, and not only to the church, but when people were cold up there in Chicago, he provided coal for the old and the widowed children. Yeah, the soup kitchens. And there's been stuff that I've read where they say Al Capone would be riding down the street and he'd see, like, poor kids on the street that looked hungry and neglected, and he'd demand his driver pull over, and he'd get out and give them money and food and help them out. Now, I don't believe in religion, and I don't believe in Christianity, but I have read the Bible many times, and I know what the Bible says and what the Bible promotes, and if that's not living by what the Bible promotes and living as a good soul and a good person and loving the people, then I don't know what is, and I don't know what he was thinking when after maybe he pulled over and gave a couple poor kids some money and an old cold lady some coal, he may have drove up the street and beat the fuck out of five guys that weren't paying him his money to run their business.
The day he ordered the St. Valentine's Day massacre hit, he could have done the same thing. He could have helped out three or four kids and some old lady that day too, and then made a call and said, "Yo, man, I need you to take out so and so over here. Pretend to be cops and go chop them in half with the Tommy guns." And another thing too that's crazy. He's buried at Mount Carmel Cemetery. You go on my Facebook page, Prez Prez Demo Themo UGSFTI. I got pictures of his grave at Mount Carmel Cemetery, and it's a Catholic cemetery. They state that if you have had a divorce, you cannot be buried there. This guy is a cold-blooded murderer. In the 20s, man, he had Chicago, the murder capital of the fucking world, and they let him be buried there.
I'm not sure about a divorce, but I know for a fact that Al Capone would knock down hoes like AIDS knocks down fools in L.A.
Man. He died of fucking syphilis.
So,
that's how he lost his mind.
I don't know what the Catholics think about unfaithfulness and stuff, but if they're against a divorce, surely they're against not being one with your wife, you know.
And Capone's and Capone, man, it rained. I mean, long after his death, many still say it's going on. Matter of fact, as short as a decade ago, you know what I'm saying, they had to shut down the town of Cicero. That was Capone. People just associate Capone with Chicago, but Cicero was like his fucking one of his fucking headquarters. And they had to shut down the town, fire all the fucking police and bring the feds in because the town president was involved in mafia activities. In fact, the town president's husband was a fucking member of the mafia. I mean, this shit is in continuation from Capone to Nitti, to Sam Giancana, and all these guys. It's still going on today. Capone's legacy has left Chicago at all.
And that's another big question is how does it coincide with each other, religion and gangs? Just like you said, you know. He might help some poor kids and then turn around and orchestrate the St. Valentine's Day massacre. And that's probably something that happened a lot with Capone.
Yeah.
It's like almost maybe he had two sides, or maybe it wasn't two sides. Maybe he saw nothing wrong with what he was doing, running a business, running alcohol that was against the government. And I'm sure being an immigrant coming from New York, I'm pretty sure that's where he came from. It probably was tough being an immigrant in those times, and the government probably did some fucked up things to the immigrants that first came over here from, say, Sicily or Italy or those places. So no telling exactly what his motive was, whether it was for the good or for it to be against the government or to be for his religion. And I mean, there's no telling. You can't. Only Capone knows.
Yeah. Exactly.
And
you know,
plus the time he spent in prison, I mean, that could have pushed his religious beliefs near the end of his career in his life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they say he lost his mind, due to the syphilis because it infected his brain and he wasn't himself anymore, but his whole family history is tied to the church. You know, you look at this guy, it just baffles me. You know, he was given his last rites. At St. Patrick's Church in Miami, because he passed away. He had another home down in Miami, and then they brought him back up to Chicago and had him buried up here. But it's crazy. This motherfucker was one of the most brutal gangsters ever. I mean, he set the bar.
It's funny. You the most brutal gang member in the history of America, one of them at least, and turn around and is probably listed as one of the most humble and nicest gang members to the people in history of gang banging.
Yeah. And
so
it all depends on what side of Capone and who knew him
if you was just the person and you weren't out there, it's like the old Sicilian code, Omerta, stay out of one's business and stay out of his illegal business. So if you did that and you were just a person, then Capone loved the people. He was a people person. Nobody knows if he loved the people to try to gain political gain from it, to get loved in the papers, to get the cops off his back, or maybe he actually really did love the people.
A lot of people theorized it was to keep his image in a positive light in the media. Matter of fact, he even had a member of the media, I forget the guy's name, but he had him killed for writing a negative story about him. So all you motherfuckers sending in CDs to be reviewed in UGS magazine.
We gonna let Brother Six the Reptilian review your shit.
No, we're all gonna review your shit. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna. I mean, if you send in music, it's gonna be judged. You know what I'm saying? 100% honesty. You know, it's not gonna be. We're not gonna pull any punches. And we don't care if it's Brother Swoop. You know what I'm saying? Send in a CD, and we're gonna give you 100% honesty. And that's what you gotta do.
That's what they want. A lot of them say they want it, and then when they get it, they get mad. But a lot of us, man, that's what we want. And that's
definitely.
Exactly what the UGS magazine is going to give.
It'll make you better as an artist. But yeah, man. This show is definitely. It's been a good educational show about gangs, showing gangs and the ties between gangs and religion, gangs and the church.
Even when you think of gangs in religion and gangs and stuff, we can't end this episode without mentioning religion in prison. Now that I'm thinking about it, man, I bet. That's probably where religion was introduced to the gangs, is when these guys went to prison. Everybody that goes to prison becomes religious. And when they get out, they introduce it. And then, of course, the guys they introduce it to on the streets, most likely they're going to go to the prison. It's like a cycle. I know there was like you were talking about, how prisons have the chaplains. And they actually did I lost the word for it, but they interviewed a bunch of chaplains and stuff and asked them about it. And these chaplains were saying that nearly three quarters of the chaplains said that they consider access to religion related programs in prisons to be quote unquote absolutely critical to successful rehabilitation of inmates. And 78% of the chaplains said that they consider support from religious groups after the inmates are released from prison to be absolutely critical to the inmate's success at rehabilitation and reentry into society. Now, I don't know what the percentage is of inmates that that are reintroduced to society and immediately come back, but I'm guessing it's probably a staggering number in the higher brackets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know,
so I'm not sure if it's working or not, but these guys, I don't know if they just want to keep their jobs or what, but they're saying it's critical.
There's a movie I just saw. I want to recommend it. It's called Machine Gun Preacher, and it's about this biker, you know, meth addict that goes to jail, and as soon as he comes out, the motherfucker is right back into the drugs, and he almost kills somebody, and then he realizes he finds God, and then he thinks he has to rewrite all his wrongs, and he starts doing good things for people, but he constantly struggles with his past. It's a good movie. Check that shit out if you got Netflix. It's called Machine Gun Preacher.
It kind of goes with this. It said 51% of the chaplains said that religious switching occurs among inmates in the prisons of where they work. And it said many of the chaplains report growth from religious switching in the numbers of Muslims and Protestant Christians. That's the biggest two religions that most people end up joining, aside from whatever they believe before they go to prison. So the Muslims and the Protestants they're recruiting like a motherfucker in your local state prison.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it also said extremism in religion inside the prison is crazy. It said 29% inmates get so involved with their religion that they feel like it's their new gang. You know, if you don't want to be part of that religion, then they're going to go extreme on your ass.
It says
religious extremists is reported by the chaplains as especially common among the Muslim inmates, including followers of the Nation of Islam and the Morris Science Temple of America, and to a substantial but lesser degree among followers of pagan and earth-based religions such as Odinism and various forms of Wicca.
See, that's fucking crazy too. What about atheism in prison? Is there a fucking?
See, I didn't look that up, but I'm sure. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know how many atheists are actually in prison, and I don't even know if those motherfuckers would believe they're in prison.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's an atheist joke.
Yeah, but you know, it's definitely. You know what I'm saying? It's a growing thing, man. More and more people, I notice, atheism is frowned upon. But more and more people are becoming atheists because they're, you know, it's a proof thing. You know, religious people say, well, you have to have faith. Man, I can't really believe in what I don't fucking see.
I just got a message from a guy we'll call my brother. I ain't going to say his real name, but I think he's commenting on your movie that you were talking about. He said it's a true story.
Yeah,
he's still alive. He lives in Africa saving kids.
Yeah.
He built the church there and fights off the drug cartels and the gangs there that take the kids and makes them prostitutes and killers.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant by someone, you know, he had to help people, and he chose to help children.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm not a religious person at all, but if you can find a God,
fuck yeah, dude.
If you can find a God in any religion, I don't care what religion it is, but if you can find a God and that God is so powerful to you that it makes you go out and fight drug cartels and fight gangs and go after these people that are fucking with our children and turning them into prostitutes and killers, then I would be more than happy to stand by your side any day and believe in your God, not believe in your God as a God for myself, but believe in your God as a God for you that I can see made that person change, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. It does, man, because I know several people who they're devout in what they believe in, and it has changed them. You know, that's why I'm not totally against religion. I'm just against it for myself. You know, I don't think I can derive anything from it that's going to make me be any less of an asshole. Because I'm having too much fun being an asshole. I don't want to fucking change. You know, but
and just like the brother Six just told me, he said only the best guys get you ready to kill, which is kind of true, but then again, you know, maybe some people deserve to be killed. If you're kidnapping children and turning them into prostitutes and exploiting their children, then I believe you probably need to be killed in a heinous ass way.
That's what this preacher was doing. He believed
that. And the sad thing is when you say machine gun preacher, I like picture like this Rambo looking dude with these badass machine guns and shit.
No man, this guy's just out there with a fucking AK and with a you know, he's got some you know, members of the army with them, and they're going up against these rebels that are stealing these children. See, what they do is, I mean, one of the scenes is very horrific. These rebels go into a village, and they kill all the parents, and they take this one boy, and they take him and his brother and his mother, and they tell him, we're either going to kill you and your little brother unless you kill your mother right in front of us right now. And he's faced with that decision. He doesn't want to kill his mom, but he knows, you know, his little brother's going to get killed, and his mom was telling him, okay, just do it, you know. And this shit is true. It happens. You know what I'm saying? These kids are fucking – I know we're going off the subject of gangs and religion, but this is definitely something to talk about. But these kids are
– I mean, you said dude was a motorcycle gangster before that, yeah?
He was. But, you know – over there in the Sudan and in various parts of Africa, they're trafficking children in just record amounts, numbers, and you know, like you said, they're making them sell drugs. They're put in the sex trade, in the military, it's a very powerful movie. And this guy literally he went over there to build orphanage, but. He was a full-blown combat soldier. He wasn't a part of no army or nothing. All he was a guy who wanted to help people build an orphanage. But at the same token, he killed a lot of motherfuckers over there to protect the kids, and I salute him for that.
And you know, it's almost kind of like the Mormons that are on the border fighting the cartels. You know, sometimes, no matter how crazy I personally may think your religion is, man, sometimes it's a good thing. And it just proves that here at the Church of Reality, we're not always against religion, and we're not always against people that believe in religion and devote their life to religion. There is good that comes out of religion, just like there is good that comes out of everything. So take that down as a note that we're not a hate group all the time. Sometimes we are.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Brother Six says we have dead air. If anybody's out there listening to the show, let me know if you can hear it. Well, Brother Six is gone off the board. So maybe there's a problem with his connection.
I can hear fine. Yeah, my brother Mr. W said he can hear us just great.
Oh, Mr. W can hear us. That's what's up. Thank you for letting us know. Appreciate that. Okay, we can be heard by some, but some of us can't hear us apparently. So, but
some people can't hear the word of the church, man. Some people just can't hear it. I think he may have got abducted by a reptilian spaceship.
Yeah,
somebody
he
might
got
have
abducted
him.
By a gray. A gray got him. It was the reincarnated dead body of B. Arthur that abducted him. So B. Arthur is a gray. She's not dead. She's part of the lower class reptilian race, whatever you want to call it. And I think she abducted
the reptilian golden girls.
Yeah, yeah.
And plus it's been about 45 minutes since Six on the Ace, so he may be in the kitchen making him some honey French toast.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But you know, we're gonna go off into the choir. We're gonna play since we're kind of giving religion props, I have a song that's just suited for religion. Nadas, we're actually mastermind of Nadas, a song called Heaven. to all you holy rollers out there, and enjoy this wonderful heavenly song by such a heavenly person.
I accepted this invitation because I recognize your value to the struggle. And I pray that Almighty God will bless the words that I speak, that it not be just a sound in your ear, that you clap your hands and say right on, and then walk out the door and be the same fool and the same fool that you may have been before you got in there. But I hope that what I say will make a profound change in the way you look at yourself and your role in the struggle of black people.
Mr. Hellraiser, not the big head, not the skin head. Little nigga, you ain't never been dead. So you don't know that just what you can do and get away with. I love to rock the fuck with you, kill them off in no sentences. No killers don't talk, so don't talk to me. Tell me who fought to beat that natural born killer walking the streets. Why must I feel like this? Walking with a closed fist, feeling like a homicidal list. Understand, don't be aware, so you'll need me. Why can you pray for God, please? Don't let this nigga flee. I may as well take you to hell with me. Ain't get your 50, I'll fuck your chick beat. I may as well say fuck heaven. No nothing, no glory. Follow me to the end of the road. I'm the owner. If you die, you get me. Never been a mourner. You don't wanna be seen by my side, cause that's suicide. But if you're down and it's scared to die, I take you on the murder ride. Killing for a living is how I get rich. Niggas sent me in the hood like the Candyman, bitch. The ghetto legend, not a coming like I'm a gang. Do you believe in God? Don't ask me for stupid questions. Cause when I'm coming at him, I'm coming to body count them up. I don't give a motherfucker. I may as well say fuck.
Definitely. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we go, Brother Herod?
Nah, I don't want to touch on nothing except for maybe a 40-ounce and some honey-laced pancakes.
Beer and pancakes, folks. That's the food and drink
pancakes.
Choice of Brother
Herod.
That's
how Herod gets down. That's how Herod gets down. Kick up my feet, watch my Jewish slaves work in the sand fields, building me a temple, and eat my pancakes.
Well, we're going to get out of here, but before we do, we definitely can't forget Chomo of the Week. I got another one for you. This Chomo is out of KCMO. So stick around for just a few more minutes, and we'll be getting the fuck out of here.
Hello, little kid. Would you like some candy?
Sure. I love candy.
Okay, hop in the car and follow me. I know where there's a ton more. Come on now, little kid.
She ain't going nowhere, motherfucker.
Yes, we're back again with Chomo of the Week. And just recently, a little girl in the city of Kansas City, Missouri, was attacked by a guy who worked as a pastor, who actually was a convicted rapist. He is associated with the Greater Works CME Church in Kansas City. And this motherfucker, basically what he did was he convinced the little girl, he said that he wanted to take her downstairs and show her some music that she was going to sing on Sunday. And he'd taken her into his office instead and held her there. Well, who knows what the fuck he did to this poor girl while I was in her office. But the grandmother, she is baffled, wanting to know why the fuck does this convicted rapist have any part to do with the church? And Michael Taylor, the current church's pastor, declined to discuss these allegations, of course. His excuse was anything I would say would just be hearsay because I don't know. First of all, in 1998, this sex offender, his last name is Spencer, first name is George, was convicted of raping a girl in Leavenworth, Kansas, and he is listed as a non-compliant on the Kansas sex offender website for failing to register as a sex offender. Authorities in Kansas are currently seeking him as a result. What the fuck is this guy doing in the church if in 1998, if he was convicted of raping a girl back then? Why the fuck wasn't he put down? Euthanasia, bitch. Euthanize this motherfucker. After you cut off his balls, make him eat his own balls dipped in cyanide. Because what this son of a bitch did was he got away with raping a girl in 98, and he just did it again because the church does not give a motherfuck that rapists work there, because the church condones raping of children. How many times I got to fucking tell you people this? It is part of their fucking mechanism. Won't you agree on that, Brother Herod? I mean, the evidence that we find is just God fucking damning. What was that you were going to say?
Do you know the name of this church?
Yeah, it's the Greater Works CME Church, which I don't know what CME stands for. Probably child munching.
Maybe
eating
something about evangelism, maybe. I don't know, but every week, man, every time you bring a Chomo of the Week, man, it always has a church involved in, and it's crazy that these churches, they just look the other way. Every time we talk about them, just like the one last week about the guy that worked at the school or whatever, and I don't know if that was Chomo of the Week. It might have just been a guy we was talking about. But, I mean, he worked at the school, and the school found out he was a sex offender, and they fired him. And this guy went straight to work for a church, and the school and all the parents contacted this particular church, and they said, get him out of there. And they ignored it, and the guy ended up raping, like, I think it was like 14 kids.
Yeah. Yeah, or the one guy, the one priest that raped 200 deaf kids at a deaf school. You know,
you can't take these people's actions and put them against the whole community. But like we said over and over, man, fingerprint these guys, get the background checks. We said every single week, look into your employees, look into your help, look into your volunteers. And just like my brother, Mr. W said, man, you could hit us up on the Facebook or on a chat or on our web page if you don't want to call in. But he said there's too many churches that are way too friendly.
And that's the truth.
You gotta draw a line. You got to.
And like you've said before, keep your kids out of church, plain and simple. But the grandmother, she was working on her associate's she was working as an associate to the pastor. And she, after learning about what happened, she contacted the police and the church's pastor, not the pastor that raped her granddaughter, but the current pastor of the church. And she was shocked by the response, naturally, because nobody gave her any support. The bishop, the church, nobody. This woman had to go to the media, and you'll get support.
With that, it brings me back to last week when you interviewed what was her name? Barbara from Snap. Was her name Barbara?
Yeah, Barbara. Yep.
Yeah, Barbara from Snap, and she said when she walked in on the priest molesting the little boy, she said that she called police. And the way she put it, the police told her, oh, yeah, there's been 3 or 4 other complaints about this guy, but did nothing about it.
3 or 4 complaints since.
There's
other witnesses that have walked in on him molesting children. And he still
– I
wish she would have gave us the fucking name, because I would have put this
and
son of a bitch
on blast. And
she
said in the interview that this guy is still – in a church somewhere, he's still an active participant, an active priest.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
To weigh in on this, once again, on the chat line over here, he said that churches, they forgive past and give chances, and they're too afraid of losing members.
Yeah, yeah. They forgive.
And then for the record, he also said they want to make everyone happy, but God didn't do that. And that's completely correct. And maybe you know, it's not about making everybody happy. It's making everybody safe.
Yeah, maybe it's about protecting the children instead of worrying about what your fellow clergy or your fellow congregation members might think, or worrying about what God might think, or what the priest or the pastor might think. Maybe you should worry about the kids. That would probably be the most godlike thing to do, but you know, obviously, people have other fucking priorities. Well, my goddamn priorities are with the kids, you know.
And it's the same. It's the same as a gangs in religion. You know, it's the same as gang members. Maybe they go to church to learn the loyalty and learn the love, and then you hear about these gang members that are joining the American Army and learning how to do home invasions and learning how to shoot weapons, and it all coincides with each other. You can learn a lot from your rival. You can learn a lot from your enemies. You can learn a lot from your friends.
And even I'll say this to the gang members, man. Don't be recruiting these young kids. If motherfuckers come to you that are older or whatever, that's one thing, but don't be going after no fucking 10-year-olds. Just like
that's
they do in that
it's
movie,
just,
man. Don't be putting
like
fucking AKs in 10 and 11-year-old kids' hands. I mean, come on,
it's
just fucking
like
stupid.
It's just like in the church. If they recruit these little kids and then a volunteer comes along and rapes them, I think, I mean, this is taken a little far, but a gang member that recruits a 10-year-old and puts them on the street selling dope, I mean, to me, that's really no different. It's still a child, and you're still putting them at risk into something terrible happening to them.
It is. And, you know, you got a lot of these macho motherfuckers that I want to teach my son how to do this and how to do that. I want to make sure, you know, before he hits the age of 9, he fucks his first bitch and he gets his first hit before he's 12, and he kills a motherfucker before he's this and blah blah blah. There's people out there that actually have that fucking mentality. That's why I love the video.
Yeah.
There's one video of this kid that was gangbanging, and his uncle was slapping the shit out of him with a belt. You know, because his uncle, you know, probably had been through that and seen the effects of that first fucking hand. And he had the kid crying and shit on there. And, you know, you think you're a gangster now, motherfucker? And he's whipping him. And, no, uncle, I'm not. No. He's crying. And, you know, there's nothing macho about this. Bitches ain't going to fuck you if you kill somebody. You know, I mean, come on. Use your brains. You know, you use the brain you got, get you some fucking money, and get you a better situation without killing people. Point blank. Don't
exactly.
Fucking
and
kill
how,
people, man.
How
put
many,
the guns down.
If you out there listening, man, how many gang members do you know right now that have been successful from gangbanging? Without having to see stab wounds or bullet holes or dead friends or prison time or rapes and murders and all that, man. There's virtually none. Every gang member that's a real gang member that's had many years put into it all has way more tales of tears and depression than they do smiles and happiness.
I know gangbangers from all over who are in situations where they're broke as fuck right now, and they could be making. Geez, I mean, they could be making large amounts of money if they wanted to with ease, like it was nothing. But they've seen so much fucking shit. You know what I'm saying? They'd rather try to do it the hard way and you know, do what they can to scrape by rather than have to put themselves back into that shit. I mean, I know motherfuckers
and you know a lot
that,
of...
that are suffering because they don't want to go back to that life. They know what it is.
A lot of these gang members that are 100% down, loyal as gang members, like I was talking about Tukey's son, his mom was a gang member, his dad was a gang member, his brothers, uncles, cousins, all gang members. When you grow up in that lifestyle, you know nothing else. That's all you know. And what are you going to say? No, I'm not going to join. Then it's you against the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, and you
and it's
check
almost,
your pride at the
and,
door.
And then you could take that to religion. Say if you grew up in a Muslim family and your mom and your dad and your brothers and your sisters and your cousins, your aunts and your uncles, they were all Muslims, and you said, you know what, I don't want to be a Muslim. I want to be a Christian. It'd be just like saying I don't want to be a Crip. I want to go chill with the Mexican essays. It'd be exactly the same. You're going to be hated, you're going to be ousted out the house, you're going to be disowned, you're going to face the repercussions, and it's either going to kill you or it's going to make you a hell of a man.
Yeah, real
well,
shit.
Well, probably not going and chilling with the essays, but
yeah,
that'll just make you the same thing you was going to be anyways.
yeah, but you got, you know, I mean, if you're a young kid, you got more things to occupy your time with, you know, than running around killing people. You know, and I know a lot of guys that are dying right now in their mid-30s, early 40s. They're getting killed by kids that aren't even fucking, you know, even in their teens yet in some cases. Yeah, it's fucking
right.
Crazy.
It seems like gangbanging was, I'm 30 years old. I'm 30 years old. And in the 90s, gangbanging was massive. Gangster rap was massive. All these rappers were promoting gangs. All these rappers were giving you the impression that, you know, it was cool to join a gang and you're going to have all these things. And the murders were up. You had the L.A. riots. You had Compton and Long Beach and Chicago and all these places. And it's been damn 90, 2000. It's been 20 years. And you would think gangbanging has gone, but look at Chicago right now, right in your backyard, Brother Solomon. It's the highest murder rates in years in Chicago right now. I mean, these gangs are not dead. They're alive and they are thriving.
Yeah, and what it is too, There's no with these younger guys. There's no like the Black Peystone brother that was talking earlier. There's no laws. There's no they're not following any structure. They're just out there killing, and the shit's got to stop. Because there's been many headlines this year in Chicago and other cities where, you know, little girls playing on their front porch getting killed. And it's happening way too often.
What is it? It's October. Chicago's what, on its 400 murder? Is that right? 400? Or was it 200?
Man, after 6 months, I have to go back and look at the statistics, but after 6 months, they said they had more murders than Afghanistan.
Which is,
you know, Afghanistan is a warring country right now. They're at war with us. And this is just one city compared to a country at war. This is a city at war, and it's been at war since the days of Capone, and it's still at war. So when people think of America, you have to understand one thing. When they say, "Oh, we got it much better than this country or that country," we rank close to the top when it comes to murders. We have about roughly 30,000 murders a year in America. Versus,
wow,
you know, places like Denmark that might have 3, you know, or places like Canada,
yeah,
that might have 50 murders. You know, we're up at the top, and the media doesn't portray that at all. So I'm saying this, put down the fucking guns. It ain't going to get you nothing but put in the grave. Put them down.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It says, as of September 29th, 2012, Chicago on Friday surpassed 400 homicides for the year, the fastest city has done so in nearly 10 years. On Friday morning, 2 men were found beaten to death in the trunk of a vehicle on West 45th Street in Brigham Park, bringing the totals to 400 homicides.
And that's just September.
And that was Friday morning in September. The next article, Friday night, a 17-year-old boy was fatally shot on South Chapel Avenue in Calmet Heights.
And you know what's crazy? You even look at the rap game right now. You got that punk Chief Keef. There was a rapper that he was beefing with, got murdered, and they reported this on All Hip Hop, one of the fucking lamestream sites, and Chief Keef said some bullshit like, "Yeah, dude almost sounded like me and laughed my motherfucking ass off." You know, so it's spilling over into these skinny jean motherfuckers. They're even killing people, and it's just fucking crazy already. People gotta just calm it down and just forget about this shit. And you gotta think, we still got in Chicago, you got a whole quarter left of a year. You got pretty much the rest of October, all of fucking November, and all of September. And if shit don't stop, there might be 600, 700 murders by the end of the year. And that's just fucking crazy. And that's just one city.
And that's what it,
that's not
that's
New
what
Orleans.
It says.
That's not L.A. That's not fucking New York. That's one city. Now add up all the other cities and all the other
homicides. And when you're looking at these statistics of Chicago, you're thinking, damn, do they even kill people anymore in L.A. or Miami or New York or Cincinnati?
Oh, yeah. It's bad there, too. It's... It's bad there, too. You know, by the end of the year, you look at the statistics for the United States as a whole and compare it to as many countries as you can find. But the closest you're going to come to, you know, is Mexico, of course, with the cartel wars down there. Even places like Afghanistan, they can't even compare their homicide rate to one city in America. So... Just imagine what the numbers compared to Afghanistan be like when you compile all the cities. It's fucking crazy.
Now we got like 2 minutes left, man. I wanna give a shout out to you, of course, man. It's been a good show.
You too.
And if you're listening, man, and you got kids, man, urge them to stay away from the gang life, man. I'm not religious. I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in an Allah. I don't believe in a Jesus. I don't believe in none of that, man. But I would. I myself would personally rather have you go find a church, go join a church, and stay away from the street life, man. Stay away from the gangs and the guns and the killings and the drugs and the thugs and the violence. Do something else with your life, man. Even if you don't want to go to a church, go write a song or go learn to act or go
take
plant
a
garden
man.
Or
take
go,
a bar, like
go help a neighbor.
You know, take up art, take up some kind of fucking hobby, get into something positive that's going to keep you away from that type of lifestyle. And surround
help
yourself with positive people. Don't be around negative people all the time because, you know, these motherfuckers, man, they don't care if you live or die. At the end of the day, everyone in the streets is out for themselves. You got to understand that. A homie is a homie as long as you fucking, you know, are alive. But once you die, you know what I'm saying, where's that homie? Or once you get caught up in some shit, your homie expects you to take the case for him and you go do 10 years and keep your mouth shut, where's that homie? Is he going to be Is he going to be sending you money? Hey, we're about to get out of here. We only have seconds left. Thank you, Brother Herod. Brother Six, you know, Six on the Eighth, thank you. Thank you for everybody listening. I see we've got a lot of callers, but people chat with us on Facebook. But, you know, maybe next time some of you can press number one and chat with us. We'll see you next week for number 7. Peace.